Waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in a synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marks out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, 'We are his offspring.' Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Amen. You probably don't notice, and neither do I, and most of us don't notice, that we are being sold to all the time. How many adverts have you driven by today or seen? Posters. We're being sold to all the time. One of the places where you get sold to all the time is Charlestown Square. There's a place. It's a place where they give you 3 hours of free parking. The reason they do that is because it takes you an hour and a half to park. It's deliberately so badly designed that having eventually you've managed to park your car, and we're grateful to you, Nathan, for your assistance in that regard, having once parked your car, you cannot face going back to it again for another hour and a half minimum, and so you end up stuck in the shops. Where you are sold to all the time, even if you don't want anything. I had some spare time in Charlestown Square yesterday. Actually, that's an oxymoron. No one's got spare time in a shopping centre. I didn't choose to do something more worthwhile. However, there I was. 3 shops that I went into for various reasons and not necessary for me. There was a makeup shop. There was a well-known jeweller. And there is, of course, the Apple Store. And if you go in any of those shops, whoever works in those shops is covered in their product. Absolutely true of the makeup shop, where everyone who works in a makeup shop has to have the regulation ponytail. We used to call it a Croydon facelift in London. You pull it tight and then the makeup's on and they're literally wearing their product. And I went next door to the jeweler's shop, and there everyone is wearing Apple stuff, Apple phones, iPads. They're covered in their products. Here is Paul in Athens. And one of the things that stands out in this story, and I know my time is brief this morning, and I won't, these children have done so well, we won't keep anyone long. But here is Paul in Athens, and he's in the marketplace of ideas, in the marketplace of thinking. This is where the intellectual people, the city leaders, gather to debate and talk about the issues of the day. And he is steeped in his product. It's very noticeable for me in this reading what we get told. This is often a passage that is used in training colleges, is how you do mission. You contextualize the gospel. You go somewhere and you make sure you understand all the culture where you're going, and you talk about the gospel in those terms. Paul does that. It's a masterclass in that. He talks about the statues, the artwork in Athens. He talks about their religion. He talks about their literature, and he brings it all together and makes it about Jesus. But before we get to that, we have this statement. He was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. Greatly distressed. So he reasoned in the synagogue. The city is full of idols. Paul is distressed about that. So he goes to the synagogue. The inference for me is that a synagogue is just one of many other religious places there, and seemingly having no impact on its surroundings. Well, in the competing world for ideologies and ideas and truth that you and I live in, I'm sure we would all pray today that we would never be just one of a number of pick and mix spiritual options for people. That we wouldn't just be one of all sorts of places where people could go. But we would actually be making a tangible difference in our community. Paul is distressed. And because he's distressed, he gets a hearing. I'm very challenged by that, because I'm not sure that I am sufficiently distressed at the state and the condition and the eternal destiny of people that I meet. And if we don't have that sense of distress and anxiety for them, well, we may not get a hearing. And we'd be relegated to just another place where people could go. And here's a synagogue in Athens, just one of many places. But because Paul is distressed and he wants to talk about that, he gets a hearing. And he talks about truth. And he talks about the fact that they've got this altar to this unknown God. And this God that you worship, that you don't know, I am here to proclaim to you. And so he delivers to them the gospel message. Now, as we've shared in Nathan and Carly making their dedication promises today, we can be in no doubt, can we, that Jackson and Caleb are growing up in a family where they will know truth. They will know truth, not just as an abstract concept, because truth is not a thing, truth is a person. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so we can celebrate that they and many others are growing up knowing the one who is truth. But lots of people don't have that. And the challenge for all of us as an extended faith family is to go out into the world and make that difference. Not just to be like that Athens synagogue that was just one of many places but seemingly had no real impact. I don't want to be part of a church family that's like that. Let's be people who actually go out and make a difference. Because we know the one who is truth. And we have the joy of proclaiming that. Paul sees the truth of their life together and explains it to them. Very courteously, in terms that they understand, explains who God is for them. And ultimately points to the one who has revealed truth to us. Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. People who want to sell you stuff are absolutely covered and steeped in their product. If we want people to understand and have an awareness of the truth about the gospel, the truth about our faith, then you and I need to be completely steeped in our faith. We need to be so on fire for Jesus, we need to be so much sold out disciples for him that people can just see that we belong to him. Just as you go into those shops, you can see those people who work there wearing, carrying, using their product. We need to be like that in the world we live in. We can rejoice today that Jackson will grow up knowing the truth, steeped in the truth. And as a wider church family, we play our part in making sure that he and all the other children we've been so blessed to welcome in these recent months just grow up in this environment where truth is proclaimed and nothing is done which would ever distract them from seeing who Jesus is for them. But it isn't just about what happens here. It's about who we are out there. Bearers of truth, proclaiming the truth, and demonstrating to people that truth makes a difference. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come to lead us into truth. He's already at work where you are, the places you and I will be. May we have that sense of distress at the condition of people that we encounter, and may that be our springboard for a different kind of conversation. God bless you.